The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
It was just someone on Twitter just spreading shit because I couldn't find anything on Reddit about it. So.
Nah, let's not. What do you call?
I don't like fake news. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We have enough of that going on right now.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Hello and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And considering our nuclear takes, I am surprised we have not been bombed by Israel. So,
Jesus Christ.
I'm your host, Every Anthony time. Fuentes. And Every with me, time. The champion for regime change, Alex Cordova.
Oh my God, what the hell is wrong with you?
What? Why?
Nothing. No, they're none. Well, I'm white.
I'm white. I'm good.
Come on. W-I-T.
E.
No, isn't that what he says?
I'm W-H-I-T.
That's what he says?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
Just watched that movie last weekend, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Fucking A. All right, anyways. Oh, my gosh. I've been moving so much, my rib hurts like a motherfucker. But you know what? We got some quick bits, and it's June. We're wrapping up our June, Cordova. Do you want to do these, or should I do them? Should we go fitty-fitty?
Yeah,
how
you
want to do it?
I'll go ahead and do them, because I know you want to do them. I know you want to spin. You want to control the narrative like a certain fucking president for our big news, and it's fine. I'll allow it.
It's fair and balanced, I would say, is how that goes.
Here we are democracy. Okay? Right?
We live in a democracy.
Because you, sir, I'm pretty sure if I were to read that, you would call me fake news. You would call me fake journalism and all that shit, that whatever he says about how they're scum and all that. But anyways.
Yeah. You think so, huh, dude?
We'll save that one for...
Sound real Palpatine right now. It's all good.
Oh, we'll save that one for the actual news bits. But here we go with the quick bit. So, to no one's surprise, Marathon, the extraction shooter that we've talked about a couple times the past couple episodes, you know, they had their alpha and the feedback was not good, and therefore it has been delayed by Sony and Bungie to a be determined, I believe. It was originally supposed to launch in September of this year. That is not going to be the case.
Yeah, also, so they are looking for some new job positions to fill. So I think it's going to be a little bit.
Yeah, just make it free to play. But anyways.
Anyhow, yeah.
2,800 Nintendo Switch 2 consoles were stolen from a truck on its way to GameStop. The total loss is estimated to be at $1.4 million.
go fetch my car.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's fucking Vin Diesel when you need it? Is that right, though? 228? That seems like a lot.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of money for that amount, $2,800
divided by, I mean, on times by, what, 500 bucks?
Yeah, 450, whatever the fuck.
Oh, no, yeah, that's $1.4 million.
I guess that comes
out.
Holy
shit, my mouth sucks.
Oh, my gosh, dude. What the fuck?
All right.
And they get caught. He's like, Dom, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to play Mario Kart.
Yeah. You're going to have fucking Miyamoto find them. He's going to pull a Johnny Tran, but anyways.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
save it.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, sorry. It's all good. Keep going.
Lies of P developed, Round 8 Studios are rewarding all staff members with bonus pay at the rumored $7,300, you know, bonus check. That's pretty good. 2 weeks of extra paid vacation, and they're also getting a Switch 2 console. And why are they getting this? Because Lies of P recently reached a milestone of 3 million copies sold.
Impressive. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm with you. All right.
Yeah. I got some to say about that. But you know what? Let me just do one more, and then we'll talk about, because these first four are kind of big. So let me just wrap this first half up with Resident Evil 9. According to Capcom, is already up to 1 million plus wish lists across all major platforms, PC, Xbox, PlayStation.
Ooh,
so a million. That's a lot.
Yeah, to take words from my boy Professor Snape, obviously.
Wow.
Yep. It's pretty obvious.
So these first four are pretty big. Well, pretty go ahead, big. Drop, pop it off.
Speaking of obvious, we've covered this many times. Marathon is a fucking mess. Yep. And I've seen the listings go up for different positions that seem pretty important that they need to fill. And it just goes to show, like, they are in revamp mode. Like, we've covered the morale, like, being very low in Bungie. Mm-hmm. The fact that some of this delay news actually, the staff weren't aware of it until it was reported on various news sites and, of course, your own NPC Gaming podcast. It's a mess. And honestly, I think Bungie's autonomy is just that they're used to is in question, and for good reason. Sony paid a lot of money for these guys. I know they're expecting results. Yep. This is some bad direction. I think Sony really got to put the foot down on this, unfortunately.
I've pretty much been talking about this for about a year now, because Final Shape came out this month, a couple weeks ago, last year, and Destiny 2, the Final Shape, to me, was what Halo Reach was to Halo. Like,
that's a good comparison. Okay.
Just a send-off of, like, everything that was fucking, like, just hype. It was literally 2 months of just nonstop. I couldn't wait to get home to play Destiny, basically. And the morale that got sucked out of that hype was the fact that, you know, it was Destiny's best expansion, the most player bases in fucking, you know, 5 years, all this shit, or I'm sorry, player counts in 5 years. And then Bungie has to say, we are laying off, what, half? 60% of our staff, because thanks guys, you made a badass DLC, and then like peace pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was a big hit for just the Destiny community in a whole, because it's like, what the fuck? Like, this is what we wanted, and you guys just let these people go, like, you know? And I mean, we all know, like, well, like, I guess I should say nerds know that the gaming development isn't just like, you know, they were already done with the next steps, you know, a year, mm-hmm. 2 years in advance, right? But it's just the fact that they had that hype and momentum that they could have, honestly, they probably could have made something happen with Marathon, but they let them go and they just said, yeah, thanks for the fucking badass DLC, you know, the fun, and good luck, guys.
Adios.
We're gonna go make a fucking totally different game, and it's just,
we don't need all of you. We don't need all of you. Yep. Actually, I was reading a post on Reddit from somebody who did like an AMA and just about game development. And they keep saying, like, dude, the longest a lot of people have been at companies is now it's been reduced to about 3.5 years. And that seems like a miracle.
Yeah.
Most people are always looking for work. And it's so competitive. Like, you know, a lot of people, the same people get hired. And anybody new trying to get in, it's a really hard ceiling to break into. Yeah. So, game development right now, honestly, I think we need young talent that can push and question things. Like, Marathon is what? It's a remake or a retread of an old property and all this shit?
So, Marathon is originally one of Bungie's first IPs, even before Halo. It was more of a, like a System Shock type of Deus Ex type of shooter. You know, those old school PC shooters that has like a big old dashboard on your lower screen, and kind of like that, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have any experience with it. I just heard it wasn't Halo, but I guess it kind of put Bungie on the map at the time.
Look how competent these guys are.
Yeah, so, you know, and then they did Halo. But Marathon, at first, I believe people thought that when it was rumored years ago that it was going to be a remake of that Bungie was going to do, you know, like a remake of their first IP, but with modern technology.
Yeah, give us a
technology.
Take on it. Yeah, give us a good take.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then they say, no, it's going to be an extraction shooter. And everyone was like, okay, can you do at least a single player? Nah, extraction shooter. That's what you guys are getting.
Yep.
Like it, you know? And those types of games, I'm sorry, but, and I think I told Carlos this, that I'm sorry, but if Call of Duty can't blow up the genre of extraction shooters with the
Warzone,
DMZ, the Warzone's battle royale, right? But they did a take on extraction shooters, which was combining like battle royale with extraction shootings called I think it was Call of Duty 2, I think it was called the DMZ mode or something.
I heard about that, I remember, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they couldn't even crack it, because people were like, oh yeah, this is cool, but I don't want to lose all my shit. So,
yeah,
so
I got Apex Legends, baby. They keep giving me stuff, I'm building that character.
Yeah, yeah, and mm-hmm. and I think that's, you know, that's kind of what the extraction shooter genre is, I guess. I think it's a very hardcore gamer. The people that, you know, I guess the sweats, as we say, but yeah. It's basically you drop in. It's like kind of like a battle royale. You get loot, but the kicker is that you need to extract, and if you don't extract, you lose everything that you have. So it's kind of like. I think if Bungie would have thrown a twist on it mm-hmm. and said, you know, something, you know, about like, hey, maybe you guys won't lose everything and you can maybe save a piece of equipment or two or something, right? Kind of to cater to the casuals.
Yeah, because does, I think, high barrier to entry. That makes sense.
And especially, like, think about it nowadays, because it's like, it's very hard to get sucked into a multiplayer game. And not only that, but I value my time. There's so much shit to do. There's so many games to play. I don't want to play a game where I'm going to spend an hour in a match, and then right before I extract with some badass loot, I'm going to get killed, and I'm going to say, all right, well, fuck this. I'm not playing this
game. Exactly. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's think of the way, like, Hades, right? Think of the way Hades innovated the roguelike. Like, Hades really innovated what roguelikes are. You still lose shit, but you carry enough this and there. That there's things that they can do, you know? And from what I've heard from the playtests... And again, like, just overall what's come out of this game, which is leaky as fuck, you know? Enough for up to cover it so much. It didn't do any of that shit. Nope. So it's like, really, what are we getting out of this?
Yeah, it was just a bare bones extraction shooter. You drop in, you loot. There's a couple PvE elements. There's a couple, you know, you may run across another squad or something. But even then, actually a good example of this is the fact that the gameplay loop has to be fun, and maybe it might suck someone in, but even then, it's a tall order because just they're kind of different, but then in the same realm here, Elden Ring, Nightreign, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it's not a battle royale, it's more of a roguelike, but it's a co-op roguelike where you drop in, you have to get loot, and then it's a co-op Elden Ring experience where... You know, I have about maybe 6-7 hours in it, and mm-hmm. I barely beat the second boss. But it's just the fact that it's fun as hell to drop in. You lose yourself for about an hour
mm-hmm.
or 45 minutes or something. But, like, in Elden Ring, if I die at the boss, at least I got there and I'm just like, fuck, like, you know, that boss was hard or something, right?
Yeah, you still get your soul's kick from that, at least.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. If this game had the gameplay to where you can be like, fuck, I was almost there... Or something, right? I can see that. But from what I've seen in videos and even hearing the Destiny streamers, this guy I watch,
mm-hmm.
Azdacross, he's really, you know, he's an entertaining shit, but he's very, like, he's a hardcore Destiny 2 player with PvE and PvP, and even he's just like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be playing this game. He's like, it's just missing that PvP feel of Bungie. So. Yeah. You know, I think the only chance that Marathon will have is if they make it free to play.
If they make it free to play 100% and, like, honestly, just revamp the whole thing. just start over. Hey, Capcom does it all the time. Capcom does it all the time. They did it for Resident Evil 4 remake even. And that turned out great. Just pull Capcom. Yeah. Sony, you got the money. You're fine.
Yep.
You're fine. I mean, do they home? Well, they're about to make a big purchase, so we'll talk about that.
Fuck.
Coming up.
Speaking of making money, though, huh? How about these guys who those Switch 2 consoles?
Oh, yeah. Good old the fucking dude. The family that did this shit?
Dominic Toretto over there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Sounds like someone's trying to steal a car over there, too, Fwayne.
I hope it's not mine, dude. No, mine's parked in the parking lot. I'm good. Oh, my God. Good old Los Angeles. I know. I moved to Culver City, and the fucking rambunctiousness doesn't leave. What is happening out there? Oh, my gosh. Sorry, listeners. Is it Hollywood?
Hey, you know, Hollywood, baby.
No, this is Culver City. This is the nicer area. I don't know what's going on. Okay, they fucking stopped. Thank God. All right. Anyways, that's interesting. I feel like this is kind of a not necessary thing, though, to steal this many Switches. Like, you can get one. Like,
they're reselling it, dude. They're gonna
I know it's sold
slang it.
Yeah, I know it's sold out places, right? Yeah, but it's like not, dude. The drops keep happening. Like, even Walmart had a drop earlier today. Best Buy had a couple days ago they had a drop. Like, you just got to be diligent. You can get a Switch too. Like, I don't know what these guys are thinking. Like, you know, it's not, I'm not saying it's easy to get one right now, but it's not impossible. Like, it really, really isn't impossible. It was hard for me to get, actually, was the fucking Cyberpunk physical. That shit was sold out everywhere in LA. I don't know. I saw in the IE when I visited my parents. I was like, oh, this is cool. They actually have a whole stack of them. Steal those and bring them to Los Angeles. I'll take those.
I agree.
I don't know.
I'm just kind of like, you know, like we were talking about, you know, I'm going to follow the story because I want to see who stole it, how they stole it, and I want to see if Miyamoto just shows up and just fucking Johnny Trans them with, dude, like a fucking, instead of a, what was it in Fast and Furious 1? A pump of oil. I want him to shove a whole bunch of Switch 2 cartridges into the fucking thieves' mouths and be like, where's my money?
No, you know? He's got to do the actually, to put the real value on there, it will be the SD Express cards, is what he needs to slap down. That's the oil money right there. That shit is pricey as fuck. And learn their fucking lesson. Because I've been trying to find some SD Express cards affordably, and hell no, dude. Still trucking those.
I've seen Twitter blow up with the you know, the deal pages I follow that, you know, they're like, oh, it's dropping, go get it, and all that shit. And I'm just like, damn, is that hard to get one of those? Fucked up.
Yeah. Actually, if you see a deal on those, send that my way. Just send it to the threat. Yeah, let me know, dude, because I'm trying to get one, but I don't want to pay a fucking arm and a leg right now. I'm buying, like, furniture and shit.
Yeah. Damn, wow. Nintendo's taking a page out of Sony and doing what? Proprietary storage?
It's not proprietary, all right? It's overpriced, though, I would say, for sure. Yeah.
Overpriced storage.
Hey, at least it's not like Xbox doing the fucking, you $200.
Yep. You need our expensive ass money. I get it.
Yeah, no. Again, you can use the SD Express for a bunch of other shit, but I guess you need the fast storage. The Switch 2 is pretty fast, so I'll give it to him. But at the same time, I do miss the SD card. I have a 512 just in the OLED. It's useless now.
Chilling.
Yep. Fucking useless. Anyways, Liza P, congratulations. This is how you reward your fucking people. I really, honestly, seeing the layout of this bonus, I'm like, they know that they hired gamers, and they're giving a very substantial bonus that looks really good, honestly. Yep. 2 weeks extra vacation, like this to me is going to motivate whatever comes after Liza P for this team.
Oh yeah. They did just drop like a DLC that was, I've only heard good things about it. It was on sale, I think, last week or the week before, and I was really, really, really close to buying the game on my Xbox just so I can have something to play on my Xbox. It was only $30, and I was, like, so close to buying it, but I'm like, fuck, I have to get through all this other shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, summer sale, if I see it again over the summer, I'm definitely going to get it because, you know, I played it on Game Pass. It was genuinely very fun. It's Souls-like, but it's not, it's like, it's not a carbon copy. It has its own little identity. It's nice.
Yes, exactly. It's Souls, but like true to form.
Yeah.
You know, because you can be a Souls game and still feel like 100% Souls and not be a carbon copy. A lot of games do this, and I feel like Lies of P has the DNA. In 100%. It also is just really fucking hard, though. It was a very hard game.
Yeah, it was. And I remember like the first boss, I was like, fuck. The first boss wasn't as hard as the Bloodborne boss that I remember I got stuck on for like a week, maybe two. But that's when I was just like, damn, this is a good game. I really wish that I didn't have to play all these other games. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, fuck.
I'm right. And I'm playing games. Oh, again, games are too long nowadays. So like, give me these fast motherfuckers, honestly.
Yeah.
But you know what's most likely going to be a shorter game that I'm going to keep playing a bunch is this Resident Evil 9. If it's anything like the previous Resident Evils, I swear I run through these campaigns at least three times. At the very least three times. And I'm talking about the modern ones. The past ones, even more.
Yep. It's weird though because I looked at my playtime for Resident Evil 7 and 8 on my PlayStation and my save data was only like literally, I think for 7 it was barely 8 hours, and for 9 it was, I think, barely eight and a half hours, 9 hours.
That's just one campaign. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, that's what I mean, is one campaign. But I'm just like, I'm like, I don't know why, but it feels a lot longer than that. And I, like, it's good to me. Like, that's what I want. I don't need no fucking 30-hour Resident Evil game, you know? Like,
I'm with you.
No, 50 hours fucking Assassin's Creed Origin shit or Odyssey shit.
Yeah, okay, so that actually brings me to a good point because I feel like what extends those playtimes, it feels, it's genuine filler. Like, it's very fillery. And with Resident Evil, what extends the playtime is, like, as I'm playing, I'm like, oh, what is that? What is this? Like, it feels much more organically baked into the experience.
Yeah.
Which makes me actually enjoy another run, because I may have skipped some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, Resident Evil, they just do it right. And from what I've heard from the testimonies, we talked about this last time. But, yeah, Capcom seems to be on the right path for this. So, I am curious to see what the final take is and how long this campaign is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because Village was kind of meaty, if I remember correctly.
To me, I actually think Village was maybe, like, it may have been a little bit shorter than 7 to me. I don't know.
Really?
At least on my playthrough, my first playthroughs, right? I really feel like for 7, I was trying to find everything and replaying the tapes and all that shit.
Mm.
And it still barely hit 8 hours. And I feel like Village, I was barely at 8 or maybe 9. But I remember for Village, I don't know if I was just wanting to beat it and I didn't go looking as much. So, yeah, there maybe could have been like another hour in Village if I was just looking for everything. But
yes,
I am gonna replay these soon, though. So.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm with you. For me, the big thing was I think with 7, I was just too scared. So yeah. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and just like get past all this shit. And, you know, at that point, I was like, okay, I can understand my playtime in 7. I can totally get it because that shit was scary as fuck. And I wanted to – it just took longer because I would just take fucking breaks. Like, I would take genuine breaks. So, you know, way to go, 7. But, yeah, you want to wrap up the rest of these bits here?
Yeah, we got about three and a half left here. We got – so, speaking of zombies, we got Dying Light. Actually, I didn't know this. This game came out in fucking 2015. So.
Yeah.
2015 Dying Light is getting another free update titled Dying Light Retouched. This update will include graphical enhancements, sound design enhancements, improved textures, improved lighting, and improved shadows, all for free. And this is coming about a year after they did the enhanced update, which was free 60 FPS for, you know, free patches for PS5 players, Xbox players, all that shit. So they are supporting this game well into the cycle of the sequel and the I think they had a semi sequel called The Beast or something. So
I think so.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I haven't beat this game. I remember I was playing it for a while, and I think it just got lost in the backtrack. But I'm like, fuck, now I might have to actually try and pick it up again and see what these enhanced, these free, you know, enhancements are.
Well, so. I think what helps is, I mean, I'm cutting into it too much right now already. Dying Light has such a big community. The community is, they're so active. And so it makes sense to keep placating them because honestly, they keep giving this game a reason to be alive still. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my reason to be alive right there, bro.
There you go. I hear that.
Also, speaking of reason to be alive here, it has been confirmed that Jack Black will reprise his role as Officer Dick in Tony Hawk 3 and 4 Remastered.
God, he's such a relic of the time, dude.
Oh, God. Talk about... that's day one for me. I don't give a fuck.
I'm with you.
That's day one.
I'm with you,
Resident Evil 9... Tony Hawk 3 and 4 Remastered, day one's for me. I don't give a fuck.
If Culver City would just allow me to, you know, not hear the oppression.
So, speaking of Tony Hawk, though, also, fresh news today, the Birdman himself, Tony Hawk, is getting his own cravings box at Taco Bell to celebrate the launch of his game.
There you go, Mr. Hawk.
Starting July 11th. In-game rewards such as, hold on, I got the list here. In-game rewards such as a Salsa Verde skateboard, a Taco Bell hoodie, Taco Bell sweatpants, a Verde grip tape, and a Taco Bell puffer vest will be available to unlock in-game via rewards by buying the always delicious Taco Bell's craving boxes.
See, this is DLC I can get behind because it feeds me. It feeds me. I'm already going to spend the money. And I get this shit. I'm with it, dude. I'm down.
And you know what? I'm going to save his cravings box for when we talk about it. But just to wrap it up here, the PC users are, you want to say protesting, Flynn, in these sensitive times?
Yeah, and I also use the other word, bombing. So
bomb. Yeah, PC users are protesting Capcom by review bombing Monster Hunter Wilds. The PC version of the game has poor optimization. 4 months, I believe, is the release date after release. And the users dislike the lack of endgame content.
Also, the opposite of Dying Light here. I see.
Yeah, so, you know, if there's one community of gamers you don't want to piss off, it's the PC gamers, man.
Mm-hmm, I'll tell absolutely. You that. 100%.
Fucking... So, yep. Yeah.
But yeah, I think we talked enough about, I mean, Dying Light, like, again, it's been supported for so long, 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years. But I would say, like, everybody I know who plays it, who has played it sparingly over the years, like, it does feel like there's always a reason to go back. And it just also, it's a game that has such good moment-to-moment gameplay. It's really hard to put down once you get on it. Like, truly, I love that game, Dying Light.
Yeah, yeah. I have it on, like, I think I bought it for like $5 on Xbox and I was playing it there, and then it's like, oh, fucking $3 on Steam, and I'm like, fuck, I wanna let me see how it looks on my PC, right? So I bought it there, played it there, and then it's like, oh, what, it's Steam Deck compatible? So then I start playing on my Steam Deck. So yeah, I mean, I think when I do these graphical updates, I'm probably gonna do it on the PC just to see, you know, push it to the limit here, because even though the Xbox
sorry, I just felt it. Please.
No. Fuck yeah. And then even though the Xbox is, you know, 60 FPS, I think it's still an Xbox One game, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. There's no official Xbox Series or PlayStation 5 patch. It's just, they kind of just unlock the frame rate for you. So I think the most, you know, quote unquote, the most powerful thing is the PC, where I can kind of see if it actually does genuinely look that much better.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to check that one out again, just because I already have it and it's a free update, you know.
See, that's cool. I mean, shit, dude, they have the one on the Switch ran incredibly. So yeah, if they get a Switch 2 version, I might be fucking down. We'll fucking see. I didn't beat it. I was just playing, dicking around, honestly. So
Yeah, same. I think I remember, I like the parkour that everyone talks about was really good, but I heard it, like, it gets so much better once you start unlocking shit. Like,
yeah. I definitely was doing like side missions just to stat boost and shit like that, and I definitely felt the enhancements sure. So that's good. It's a good fucking game. I will say that for sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, speaking of good games here, Tony Hawk 3 and 4, day one.
Yep.
Yeah. Take my money right now. Honestly. I might even pre-order it. Fuck it.
Dude, seriously, I reward this. Yeah, I reward this version of Activision. This version of Activision, I'll reward you every fucking time. COD Activision, we'll see. Sometimes drop the fucking ball, honestly.
I can suck it, yeah.
Yeah, this one, though, this is good. Also, the cravings box, it does seem a little basic, though.
Yeah, Tony Hawk's craving box. Okay, here, let me run it down.
Run it down for us, por favor. Let's see.
We have, shit, where'd it go? I lost it.
I got it. You ready to go?
Okay. No, I found it.
Okay.
Tony Hawk's Build Your Own Craving Box is a modern-day nod to the iconic Taco Bell meals. It includes a cheese quesadilla, a crunchy taco, chips and nacho cheese, and a medium Lipton iced tea.
That, like, shit better be $5, dude.
That shit better be five. Anything more than $5, Tony Hawk can fucking suck it, dude. Yeah. I ain't paying more than $5 for that, for a quesadilla and a taco.
And a Lipton I'm only going to drink half of? I'm only drinking half of that shit, dude. There's no fucking way.
Okay. The good news is, though, is that I believe these rewards also apply to the $7 and $9 boxes, which are packing a lot more better food here. So let me just pull up the
Taco. Yeah, what is the other Lux boxes? Hold on, because I actually had a Lux box during movie weekend. Oh, yeah, I don't remember what was in it. Oh, they had Baja fucking chicken taco or chicken burrito.
Okay, here we go. Okay, you know what? There's a strong possibility that the Tony Hawk one will be $5, because the $5 classic box is only a beefy five-layer burrito, a crunchy taco, cinnamon twist, and a drink. So
yeah,
for four items, that better Tony Hawk's better be $5.
Four items in DLC. That's what we get.
The next one up, The next one up, Supreme Luxe Cravings Box, $7. You get a Chicken Chalupa Supreme, which I always switch out to beef.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with the beef switch out 100%.
Okay, Chalupa I fucks with. Mm-hmm. Also, Beefy Five-Layer Burrito I fucks with. You guys want to know a little hack here? I'm going to tell you a little hack.
Okay.
Actually, hold on. Let me finish up this
hurry, but I want that hack.
So you get the Beefy Five-Layer Burrito. You get a crunchy taco. Yeah. You get chips and the nacho cheese sauce and then a medium drink. Oh, all right? Shit. For $7, that's me all day. So now the hack for this, what you want to do is you want to take that nacho cheese sauce that you get from the chips. You want to get one, if you're feeling risky, maybe two fire packets of the hot sauce there. You put it into the nacho cheese sauce. Just put it all up in there. Mix it up. Shake it up. Do whatever you need to do. But you give that nacho cheese a little kick from the hot sauce, and then you dip the beefy five-layer burrito into the cheese. Thank me later, Bubba.
Okay.
Thank me later.
Okay. That's a hack. That's good. Yeah. I didn't even have dinner yet. That sounds fucking phenomenal. Holy shit.
And then last but not least, we got the $9 Discovery Luxe Box, which is like kind of they always put their limited time shit in there, which I never get. Honestly, I always just get the 7 because the 7 just fucks me up. But the 9 is like, you know, in this case, it's a crispy chicken burrito, Doritos, Locos Tacos, a taco, and then cinnamon twist and a drink. But
okay, so they updated it. The last $9 box I got was amazing. They put in there.
Was it the fucking little mini dippers or no?
No, it was the Baja burrito or some bullshit. Oh, like, the shit was fucking phenomenal. It was really good. And yeah, I got a solid Doritos Locos, a crunchy, and the cinnamon twist I always give to my gal. You know, she loves those. And then the drink can go up. It's hers also. I'm fine with it. But like, damn. All right. Mm-hmm.
So Taco Bell and Tony Hawk. That's what's on the menu for July, boys and girls.
I go there anyways, right? It's fine. Taco Bell's got me. So yeah. All right. I'll be repping those fucking game bonuses day one. I'll tell you that dude. I'll put the code in before I fucking download the game.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to grind up some shit on with the Salsa Verde fucking skateboard.
Like, there you go, dude. That's what I'm talking about, right? Catch me at the airport level, dude. Grind past the airport Taco Bell. That's all I'll be doing.
I think literally the skateboard is the deck is literally just like a Salsa Verde hot sauce packet. So it's the bottom of the skateboard will just look like a Taco Bell hot sauce packet. So I'm there.
Awesome. All right, I'm with it. I'm with it, dude.
And then speaking of not awesome here is your boys Capcom over here just not optimizing for PC whatsoever.
Dude, the opposite of Dying Light. What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is more power to the PC people for this. They should learn.
Yeah, this one doesn't affect me because I bought it on PS5. Mm-hmm. And honestly, even PS5, there is a little bit of slowdown in some of those heavy areas. But yeah, I get why the PC people will be pissed because they spend thousands of dollars on these rigs because they want to just flex. I'm getting 200 FPS, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it does absolutely nothing to gameplay, but I get it. You know, they're pissed. They spend all this money. They want to show off these fucking ultra HD graphics, and they can't because Capcom just has shitty optimization. So I really don't think that Monster Hunter Wilds deserves the review bombing in regards to the end game content, though, because I think I have about maybe 50 hours in that game on PS5. And to me, that's what Monster Hunter is. They you get to the end of the game. There is bigger monsters and you know, buffer. You fight them, and that's the end game.
You keep the loop going. You keep the loop going. I get it.
I don't know what they were expecting. But on top of that, Capcom also does give out the free. We did have a free update with two or three free monsters. The summer update, I believe, is dropping next month or in August, where we're going to get two or three more monsters. So it's kind of like you really can't complain if we're getting free shit, you know? So
yeah, I think, I think PC users are like, first of all, I can barely play this shit. And also, where the fuck's my content? Like, it's a little bit, you know, whiny, but I get it because you don't want a poorly shitty optimized game, especially, again, if you have the capability of running things really, really well. And for some reason, no matter what you do, this game just runs like shit.
Yeah,
like that's not
and that's honestly what it is for that game. You know, I don't really buy these next gen games on my PC yet, because I think I need to upgrade my CPU. I have a graphics card for them, but not my CPU. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's kind of just like, you got to know your limits here, where I wouldn't spend $60 on a game if I was just wanting to try out my shit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I get it. You know, these people that have the top of the line shit and they're barely pulling 90 FPS or whatever, they're probably just like, what the fuck? So mm-hmm. I get it. But
yeah, that makes sense. Hey, I understand. Also, speaking of playtime, I did check my Xbox app. And I definitely have more hours in both Village and Resident Evil 7. RE7, 17 hours and 25 minutes.
Okay.
So I ran through that campaign around 3 times.
Yeah.
RE Village, I think I ran through the campaign about 4 times.
Oh,
and with damn. DLC, 1 day and 13 hours.
Damn, okay.
I love both of those games. I didn't realize 7 I'd played so much. Must have been during a heightened time of just before LA, so I had more time to game.
Yeah.
But yeah, both those games, all timers. I will tell you, Resident Evil 9 is probably going to be a similar playtime, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Mm hmm.
But I believe it.
It's news time, baby. We got 2 news stories and 1 leaky rumor mill. So I'm going to go ahead and run this one. This one has been all over the place, so let's go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Switch 2 third party game drama. Well, Nintendo's Switch 2 has had an incredible launch hardware-wise, but when it comes to software, it may be struggling. So, in a report from the game business, 80% of Switch hardware sales were, in fact, the Mario Kart bundle. The Switch 2's backward compatibility is also affecting new game sales, as several first and third-party games receive substantial upgrades. We know this. Most new, but still a little old, third-party Switch games have been struggling, some actually far below estimates. It is still, as a caveat, higher than the Switch 1 launch, but again, Switch 1 had like 3-4 third-party games, so, you know, kind of an outlier there. But one publisher even pointed out that their unnamed Switch 2 game sold below even their lowest estimates. The lone outlier in all of this is actually CD Projekt Red's Cyberpunk 2077, which, coincidentally, runs off the cartridge and does not require a download to play. Does this spell doom for third-party publishers on the Nintendo Switch 2? Or is it a sign of console growing pains? Discuss. What do you think? Bring it out. I know you got takes. I know you got takes.
Here, I'm gonna pull a James. Here's the thing. Okay? All right, here's the thing. I don't even know where to start here. I get it. Mario Kart, if it was available and I really, really wanted a Switch 2, I would have got it. Right? Mm-hmm. I get that. 80% of the Switch hardware sales were Mario Kart.
It makes sense.
I get that. I don't, it's just weird to me that it's not a Wii. Don't get me wrong. This isn't a Wii U situation where people didn't know what the fuck they're getting, right? Because the Wii and the Wii U, that was just a total clusterfuck.
It's already sold more in its first month than the Wii U did the entire year. So yeah, that makes sense.
So I get that. But at the same time, it's kind of like, like I said, I mean, I have a Switch OLED. I don't see any reason right now for me to run out and just get a Switch 2. I just don't see it. I get it. Mario Kart 9, or is that what it is? Or no, Mario Kart World Tour, mm-hmm. whatever. I'm sorry.
World.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, Mario Kart's cool, but like, can get that same type of experience on 8 Deluxe that I've had for, what, since fucking 2017?
Like, I mean, you can't. Not really, but I mean, you can get close experience. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's Mario Kart. There's a fucking race. There's a fucking course. Do you have
tricks in Mario Kart 8? I want to see them, dude.
Not only that, I have not even really, like,
you didn't even play the DLC, huh?
The DLC of Mario Kart 8. So don't get me wrong. I get it, right? If you're mm-hmm. a Mario Kart fanatic, hey, I would have been right there with you on number one. I mean, I'm sorry, on the Switch 2. But the only game that I can confidently say that I would only run out and get a Switch 2 for is a new Smash Brothers. Right now.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Okay, like, I don't want to ruin your win of the month, but that game that they showed, I get it. Like, hey, it does look cool. I'm not in a rush to play it, though, still.
Did you watch,
like,
the Direct?
I saw clips of it. When
nah, watch the Direct. I just, he gets you. No.
Get it, dude. Yeah. I get it.
But here, but we're talking about third party Switch 2 sales here. That's the focus here.
Yeah. So, and when it comes to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think just a lot of gamers, like hardcore gamers, they already played these games,
yeah,
third party on better and bigger systems, that the portability just, you know, I guess if you have an extra $80, $70 laying around, sure, right? But people nowadays, I don't think they really have that. And
not the best time for that, honestly. Yeah.
And I mentioned, and don't get me wrong, I did say that Cyberpunk Portable is very, very cool. It is awesome. If you don't have any other way to play Cyberpunk,
you've been glazing Cyberpunk Portable on the Steam Deck for so fucking long, and now you get a version that runs better. Come on.
Whoa.
I saw the comparisons on YouTube.
Oh my god! And I saw another comparison that said that it doesn't. All right, Fwen?
Yeah, it depends. It depends on your settings. I get it.
It does depend on your settings, but here's the thing though: is like that's right there is the thing. It's like if you only can play Cyberpunk 2077 on a Switch 2, then of course it's going to be the best selling game, right? And not only that, but the people who don't have a Steam Deck who do want to play it portable, maybe they have a Switch 2. I get that too.
That's me.
But it's like it's kind of like it makes sense that Cyberpunk is the best selling game, the outlier here. Also, because like you said, it is entirely on the cartridge. I think that's important right now.
Honestly, huge.
Yeah. Because what was the other big game that came out third party that like they literally is pretty much a full download?
All the other ones.
Every single one of the other ones.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, that,
all the other ones.
And this also touches on what you said earlier about the Express SD card, right?
Mm-hmm. It adds up.
Yeah. Exactly. And that right there, you know, I think if a lot of these games were just on the cartridge like Cyberpunk, then I think they would have sold better. But I don't know if that's just poor optimization on the developer. They were just trying to get it out for money grabs. I mean,
I think less risk. 100%. Less risk is probably the major factor there. Also, and I think it just comes down to simply the system itself is new and you already spent $500 on this fucking bundle. Like, you're probably not going to buy a game for like a little bit. Like, if this was priced like the OG Switch, I can see adding two more games. You know, I would have the pick of the litter. I'd have two games and I'd have a really, really good launch setup from there on out. But it's priced really premium, actually. And with that, you know, you're going to be limited in what else you're going to sell besides just maybe one game that comes with it.
I mean, even then, I'm looking at this, the third-party game, the third-party launch titles, right?
Oh, they're not that impressive either. Yeah.
They're really not. I'm also a little surprised that Hogwarts isn't selling as good because, to me, you know, no one's going to want to play Street Fighter VI. The hardcore, you know, fighting community isn't biting at are chomping at the bits to play Street Fighter VI Portable.
Yeah.
Hogwarts Legacy, I'm a little surprised that it's not selling better. Yakuza 0 Director's Cut, I think is a very niche.
Too niche, yes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think everyone the Yakuza fans who want to play it portable probably already have it on a Steam Deck or a ROG Ally or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they already have this. You can buy a collection of all the Yakuza games for $50 on an Xbox or a PlayStation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this one is what? Full price, right? I'm assuming $60-$70?
Everything's full price right now. The only caveats are like $10 upgrades from like Hogwarts Legacy and shit. Where most of the sales came from, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, these other games, like Sonic and Shadows Generation... I mean, is a Switch 2 version really that much of an upgrade over a Switch 1?
Not only that, they have no path to upgrade either. You have to buy the whole fucking game again. That's Sega's fault right there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't honestly.
Think anyone's going to do that.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I agree. I think these games are a little too old. They are clearly not doing it the CD Projekt Red way, where they actually seems like they're giving a shit, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. And really, like... they're just too expensive to launch at full price right off the bat when the system itself is so fucking expensive for the time. You know, we're in an economic downturn. So it's not, this isn't 2017. this is a whole different market condition right there. Yeah. The only caveat being here is we're still in Switch isn't even 3 weeks old out yet.
Yeah.
So getting good data, obviously, this is like really early panicky stuff. Your first quarter is when you should start really, really assessing what you're going to do with the Switch 2. But also, I would say, just real quick, the Switch 1 was huge for third-party sales. It has such backwards compatibility. You have so many games you can already play that are cheap as shit right now. So the Switch is not like 2 is not like 1 where it's like the 1 only had a few games you can really play. Like, there's so much software you can already download right now. So, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's way too early for Nintendo to quote unquote panic.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hit the nail on the head there where it talks about, you know, 3 weeks old, like really, like these developers are going to start. Were they expecting to fucking sell as many copies of their games as consoles? Like, no.
Yeah.
No one's running out to fucking buy Hitman World of Assassination on, you know.
I forgot that shit launched on it.
Yeah. You know, and just, so like, Civilization 7, even on PC, no one's buying that fucking game.
Yeah,
so,
exactly, dude. Like, they're spending their money on a Luxbox and fucking Taco Bell, dude. Come on.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, yeah, Fortnite's Fortnite. I'm not going to lie. I would probably download Fortnite. It's free and all that. But, yeah, the third-party games, like, the only one that would really be fucking calling out to me, it would be Cyberpunk and Hogwarts. Like, that's it.
Honestly, I would have Cyberpunk in my system now if I didn't have to buy more furniture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm buying furniture. Sorry, this is some adult-ass shit. Nintendo or CD Projekt Red, I'd love to give you money, but... You know, only adults can afford Switch 2s and adults are struggling right now.
I think even a first quarter would be a little risky to start panicking. I mean,
they technically don't panic until after the first year. Like, that's usually when, sometimes things are so unsuccessful, the writing is on the wall. But it did, again, have the most successful console launch of all time. And it still, you know, people are probably waiting another month or so to spend their money. But we'll see how it plays out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't think the Switch 2 is anything like the Wii U. Just based on sales and shit. But I'm just saying, like, me at this time... And I think a lot of other gamers at this time are just kind of like... Yeah, it's a Switch and it is a beefier, better Switch, but... Like, I'll be more interested when they give me a Metroid Prime 4 release date. They say that a new Smash Brothers is in development or something, right?
Then it becomes more urgent. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think, too, we know, like, well, at least the hardcore gamers know Nintendo's track record of what they do. So, it's like, you know, a Switch, and then we're going to get a Switch OLED.
Yep. Switch 2 Lite.
Yeah, yeah. You really think we're not going to get a Switch to OLED at some point? So it's kind of, I think that's why they're just like, yeah, I'm good right now. You know, Mario Kart, yeah, it looks fine. I'll just play it on my buddy's house kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I've been bringing that shit everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's how I look at it. It's like, yeah, you know, don't get me wrong, Mario Kart's fun, but is this something that I'm going to literally want to come home and play or play on my lunch or break? Not in this current, I guess, environment of just backlogs being fucking 20 games long, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And see, that's actually a good point, though. A lot of gamers who do provide these software sales, like, they're in it. They've already played these games already, like you said before, but also, like, they're willing to buy. You just got to give them good deals. It's got to be the right fit for their system that they want to play on. Mm-hmm. And, you know... I just think right now the diehards are getting it, and casual people I can tell who already liked their original Switch and have the money for it. That's the audience right now. But those people don't buy games every month. Well, Nintendo fans do. They do. But like most people don't. It's going to be the Nintendo still has to convince the hardcore gamers that this is a substantial enough upgrade to commit to making it one of your like main platforms.
Yeah, you know? And I think too, the Cyberpunk edition, they didn't even add anything like quote unquote Nintendo exclusive, right?
No, they didn't give you no Nintendo T-shirt or no bullshit like that.
Well, because like, dude, I remember I rebought Skyrim and I rebought Diablo 4. I'm sorry, Diablo 3. On the Switch because it came with Ganondorf fucking armor or the Hylian shield and the Master Sword. I'm like,
I still be rocking that shit, dude. Yep, still be rocking that shit.
Exactly. So I'm like, yeah, Nintendo, give me some of that.
Yeah, a little lazy this time. I'll tell you that for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they would have put fucking make Keanu Reeves' character in Cyberpunk have a fucking Luigi mustache or something. Like, come on, what are we doing here?
Dude, there you go, dude. Give us those skins. Honestly, what kind of shit you do in that game, though, maybe Nintendo doesn't want that kind of heat on Luigi.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It'll turn him into a Luigi Mangione fucking situation in there, dude.
I think... You know, Mark, timestamp it right now. Fucking, what are we, six months out? I think that the Switch 2 is going to blow up around Christmas time.
I think so, too.
I really think.
I think so, too. By that point, it's going to have a lot more software for people to play with. Yeah. Right now, it's launch growing pains to me. Like, we'll see. But also, I think its biggest weakness is it still has the Switch 1 and still has a vast third-party library on there. Like, people don't need these new games.
Yeah.
Until, you know... It's impossible not to play them on there.
So the Express SD card, that's the only card you can use on there? You cannot use a micro SD whatsoever?
You can't use a regular S micro SD, which I think is stupid because I would love to at least load my Switch 1 games from there.
Yeah.
But the way the Switch 2 does storage, it needs the fast storage, I guess.
Wow. So it won't even let you use digital Switch 1 games on your Switch 2 with the SD card.
With that SD card, you can still run off the system natively, obviously, because it has enough space to, like, you know. Yeah. It's got a decent enough space on its own, but as soon as you start getting, like, Switch 2 versions of games, that's going to fill up. It's going to fill up, and you can't run a Switch 2 version of the game on a traditional SD card. Like, you're going to have something with fast storage. Like, you know, Xbox won't let you have anything but an SSD, same with Sony. Like, that's just the type of solution it needs.
Yeah, but, I mean, at least with Sony, though, like I said, I was able to buy a normal-ass PC SSD
for a regular one.
$80, you know, for a terabyte, and put it in my shit, and that's good to go, right? The Xbox, I literally had to buy, I had to wait, like, what, three, four years until their 1 terabyte was going for $200. It finally went down to like 90, and I was like, wait, it ain't going to get cheaper than this.
I know. I was so close to doing that same fucking deal.
Yeah, I got it for Nate for Christmas, I think, and I was just like, yep, use it, enjoy it. So,
yep, because this is one time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's interesting to me that might affect it as well, because you have these people that are buying it and seeing that, you know, I can't just put my old SD card in there. Like, fuck that, I'm going to stick with my Switch 1.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a lot of hurdles, and you got to make the shit as, like, user accessible as possible, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you. But hey, we got much more positive news here, I think.
Is it? Is it positive?
We'll see, dude. Let me know. You got this story, dude. Let me know.
So, the Street Fighter movie cast is shaping up.
Oh.
A couple episodes ago, we had a quick bit talking about how our OTC tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
OTC.
And Jason Momoa were being attached to the Street Fighter movie. Well, now we got some more names coming up here. So, first up, we have a Canadian actress that goes by the name of Kalina Liang being announced as Chun-Li. She is a relatively newcomer actress with only a couple movies and one show in her credits. I believe Wikipedia said she was best known for is a movie called Presence by Steven Soderbergh.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that film.
It's some type of supernatural thriller that came out last year. So, she was in that movie. But, however, it does look like Balrog has been cast courtesy of the boy 50 Cent, a.k.a. Curtis Jackson, who you can find in the club, pockets full of dub, you know?
Damn. There you go, dude.
he has gone to Twitter to seemingly confirm the rumor, saying, let's get it, while reposting a link of that.
Wow.
And one more bonus that I found out just today. The boy, Walton Goggins himself, was rumored to be offered the role of M. Bison. But scheduling conflicts could affect that casting.
Damn.
I look it. I love Walton Goggins. I just don't know if he can... I don't know.
He's a different take on Bison. I think Bison needs to be a little beefier dude, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know. He's a little too... But you know
what?
He's absurd enough, though. Fuck.
I mean, Billy Crash from Django Unchained is Bison. You got Baby Billy from Righteous Gemstones is Bison.
Yeah, he gonna like do some offhand ghoul, shit, dude.
You know, the ghoul himself. Fuck, man, I don't know.
Dude, he's got a pedigree now. Fuck.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So. 50 yeah, cent, that girl.
Shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, hey, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt if he wants to be fucking Balrog. You know, it's not like he's gonna be the main character here.
Exactly, exactly. He's gonna be some. He's gonna have basically a cameo role. We have a couple scenes here and there, and I think it's enough. You know, he.
You know what? And I think to update our quick bit there, it is rumored that the tribal chief himself, Roman Reigns, will be Akuma. Mm-hmm. And Jason Momoa is being rumored to be Blanca.
I'm with it. Fuck it. Get me. Yeah, those both kind of count. Akuma, long overdue. And I think Roman Reigns will be... He's got the job for it.
He just needs to not even talk, really. He just needs to be there and just look badass, you know? And
I just want people to cheer in the theater as soon as I see him. That's dude. That's what I'm looking for.
No, not even cheer. I'm just going to stand up and put my one up in the air. I'll do it right... I'll just stand up right in the middle of the movie theater as soon as he pops up as Akuma.
There you go, dude. I'm with it. Same shit. I have my cell phone out and everything. Just waving that shit. You know, we got a no name essentially for Chun-Li, which I mean, makes sense.
She looks the part. I mean, you know, let's see her fucking deadlift workout though. She's gonna get those fucking
get them thighs, dude.
Them bird kicks coming in. But you know, she looks like Chun-Li. I get it, but you know, no updates on Ryu or Ken though. I believe. Right.
See, those are pretty important roles too. I don't know if they can go a no name on that one.
I swear to God, if they put fucking Mark Wahlberg as Ken, I'm out.
Like, oh my God.
That's why I haven't watched the Uncharted movie. He is not a Sully.
No, dude.
Yeah.
I can't even with Uncharted. Nah, don't even get me started. Yeah. That's I feel like Uncharted's the last vestige of like, okay, this is the old style we're doing video game movies. Now we're gonna take them seriously. But that'll happen after Uncharted. So yeah.
That's actually a good thing. Yeah, that's a good little analogy there. Fun. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, this looks interesting, at least. It looks, I think, I don't know, with this and Mortal Kombat 2 competing for...
You know what? We didn't even mention last episode with James about how allegedly Mortal Kombat 2 got a standing ovation at the test screening.
That's right, huh?
I doubt that, but, you know, hey, I'll be there. I don't give a fuck.
I'm with the dude. Hey, give me, fuck, who's Johnny Cage? Who is he again? Carl Urban.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Urban is Johnny Cage. Now, that's how you cast right there, dude. They got, Street Fighter's got some shit to live up to. We'll see how it goes. They both seem a little fucking absurd, though, so.
Oh, yeah, and I'm there for it, dude. You know what? Fighting games? Absurd. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, we'll run through this quick rumor mill right here. This is actually a pretty beefy one, but let's go. Update from Cordova's boy Zaslav. Anyways,
oh my God.
Sony plus WB. What? So
WB
Warner Brothers announced that it is set to split into two entities by mid-2026. The first one, WBD Global Networks, will remain focused on the company's traditional cable programming with sports, news, and entertainment. The second entity, WBD Warner Brothers Discovery Streaming and Studios, will spin off with HBO, the TV series and movie productions, as well as the gaming division of Warner Brothers Discovery. Analysts have pointed out that this move opens up each segment to a sale, and there may be a potential buyer already lined up. Sony Entertainment. That's right. This would add powerful IPs like Game of Thrones and Harry Potter to their media catalog, and they would have full ownership of streaming, filming, and, for the purpose of this podcast, gaming. The deal will most likely be announced around 2027 if Sony goes through with this purchase and doesn't get outbid. Is this a good move on Sony's part, or is Warner Brothers' fire sale a lost cause at this point? Discuss. Huh.
I mean, what WB property or even game developer is like hot right now? Multiverses just got shut down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, the Shadow of Mordor people have been canceling fucking Wonder Woman. They canceled that. They canceled a couple years ago, but the Batman sequel to Arkham Knight,
They got leaked also. Yeah. That should look pretty interesting.
Yeah, it looked like a take on Batman Beyond, but not Batman Beyond, but
yeah, because I had the kid or Damian fucking Wayne in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't, I mean, I think it'd be kind of silly of Sony to buy Warner Brothers, because, you know, what, Suicide Squad fucking bombed as hell.
Mm-hmm.
They gave that game away for free on PlayStation. I still have not played it.
They gave it away for free? Oh my god.
Well, yeah, as a PS Plus game.
So like, buy it on the Switch too now. No fucking thank you.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like, I don't know. I really don't think they would be missing out on anything.
Yeah. Right? I think so they're not going to get a strong developer out of the sale. Like, they're going to basically, I think what they're going to have to do is have they're basically buying the properties so they can allocate them to their own second party and first party developers. So that makes more sense to me. Yeah. That makes sense, getting a property like Game of Thrones or Harry Potter and being like, all right, you know what? Maybe not a specific example, but like this for shits and giggles here, like, oh, Naughty Dog, please, we need a Game of Thrones game, but we don't want to do the bullshit that everybody else has been doing. Use your powers and give us something like Jon Snow after the fucking series or whatever. Like, you know, it opens them up to a lot of creative possibilities with some pretty strong IPs. I think this move is primarily just to like sell off the little bits and pieces of Warner Brothers they know they can package. Because, yeah, cable programming, sports and news, that's something that, like, Fox will buy. Or not Fox anymore, but, like, you know, a broadcast network, some fucking bullshit, like, right-wing-ass fucking thing. Like, they need that kind of stuff, right? Sports and all that. But the studio with those major IPs, that's a pretty big buy. That's something that I'm sure, like, Paramount or anybody else, big movie companies want to get their hands on those properties. So splitting it is a smart move for the sake of breaking up Warner Brothers. I'm a little pissed off that such an iconic studio is going through this bullshit right now. Like, that's the part that kind of pisses me off. Like, so many good things came from Warner Brothers. And, like, we're seeing the slow death of this fucking thing, which sucks because they're still putting out good shit. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, they could have did a fucking, like, a normal Suicide Squad game and people would have ate it up, but they just didn't. They just didn't get, they could have capitalized on the fucking, on the movie, which was genuinely good, you know, but they didn't do that. They could have did a fucking Peace Walker game. I mean, I'm sorry, not Peace Walker. Peacemaker game.
Peacemaker, that's right.
Thinking of Metal Gear Solid here. They could have did a Peacemaker game with fucking John Cena or something, you know, that would have been awesome
too.
That
would have been good too.
But yeah, I don't know. There's like really nothing that I can think of where I'm just like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, WB, you know? I mean, Game of Thrones, unfortunately, just it's a lost cause, man. They just had a game and nothing.
Yeah.
I heard it was
a cash grab. I heard it was a fucking cash grab, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fucking up. To me, this is purely an IP sale. Like, I don't think we're going to get much out of these gaming divisions. There's a reason why they're canceling everything. You know, it's this gaming is just a shell of its former self at Warner Brothers. But if Sony does have, you know, really reliable, good studios, and they can always create another one, at least they have the experience to make good shit. Warner Brothers is long past that prime, unfortunately. Once Arkham Knight was done, they were done. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And not only that, but like I said, I don't see Sony taking that gamble when they have to fix their $3 billion investment with Marathon and Bungie. So, I don't know. It's rough. It's rough.
It might not be the smartest play, but it might be, I don't know, a long-term gamble that could pay off. But they're going to have to fix their shit. It's not going to be an easy path. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fucking Zaslav, dude. Screwing everything up, dude. Fuck that guy. Anyways, hey, we're going to run through our gaming wins here before we fucking get out. Oh, we got our, what are we playing, too. But my gaming win of the month, obviously, I'm a big fan of it. It's my Switch 2. I've talked about it enough, I think, in this podcast for the past couple episodes to let you guys know that as a portable gamer, it just is the exact kind of upgrade I wanted. Maybe the screen could be a little bit better, but for an LCD, it's kind of great. It's actually really not that bad. Backwards compatibility gets better by the week. And honestly, I love Mario Kart. I do think it's more of a fun, like you said earlier, party game. Like, to bring over to somebody's place and see everybody have fun. It definitely stands on its own compared to the previous installments. But at the end of the day, you're right. It's still Mario Kart. I mostly bought for the potential in the way that I play games, which is very, very portable. And while I'm doing a bunch of other shit, which I was even doing last night. I will say another major win for me is that DK Direct. Like, if you're on the fence on the game at all, watch the whole thing from beginning to end. It's genuinely one of the strongest game-only Nintendo Directs Nintendo's ever done. I thought this game was... Like, we talked about it last week. I'm like, you get, like, 9 hours. Like, it's kind of whatever. Like, da-da-da. This showed me, like, oh, this is the Mario Odyssey team. This is 100% the Odyssey team. I can feel it in every little thing. And they took what they learned from that game, which I'm playing right now, actually, and they just expanded that motherfucker. Also, I played the demo at Best Buy. The demo is available at Best Buy. You can walk in. You only get 15 minutes, which doesn't seem like enough, to be honest with you. It was fun as shit. I was just breaking shit down, like, just sliding, grinding, surfing on these fucking rocks that you pull out, and the movement was fantastic. You just climb shit everywhere. Like, it's the opposite of, like, Breath of the Wild, where you're just, you know, you're so vulnerable, and you're just trying to, like, sneak by and, like, get through the world. You just fuck the world up. It's fantastic. I'm sold. I'm genuinely sold. This is a day one buy for me, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I saw those clips and stuff, it was giving me very Mario Odyssey vibes. And I was like, you know, don't get me wrong, but, I'll pick it up when it's on sale. But
it'll be on sale for $50 at some point.
But no, it did look very cool. But
I would say watch the full direct and see what they're playing with there. It really does seem like this studio didn't just crap it out. They have a vision, and I was a lot more sold by it based off of their presentation, for sure. And playing the game actually really made me a lot more excited for it. So if you got 15 minutes and you're next to a Best Buy, just pop in there. There was somebody hogging that shit up, but I just went to the phone cases and came back, and it was time. And then that's another experience, actually. I'll say the winning aspect of Switch 2, despite it being pretty overpriced, genuinely overpriced, actually, and, you know, the stuff that comes with it, I noticed even in that, just playing it at Best Buy, just the sheer amount of people that were curious.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people stopped and even just talked to me, like, "Dude, is that Donkey Kong?" And, like, "Oh, my kid can't tell the difference between Switch 1 and 2, but I might get the 2 for myself." And, like, I was having conversations with fucking people. I'm like, oh, the general public may not be 100% ready yet, but at some point, this thing's going to catch fire. It's already caught fire based on the sales. But, like, at some point, should it become more accessible? It'll have a good run. It's probably not going to be a Switch 1 run. That was substantial. It'll be more like a Super Nintendo. You know, it's going to have that kind of legacy, I think, to it, which is still not bad. One of the best systems ever. So, yeah, those are my two wins right there. And then Cordova, well, let's see your take on this fucking thing, huh?
No, you got to tip your hat. You know, Switch 2 this month, I mean, don't get me wrong, sold out everywhere. And like I said, you know, I was trying to talk my son and just, I'm like, "Hey, dude, you sure you want an OLED for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
You want to just wait? Switch 2 is right around the corner. It's going to be the same shit." But no, he said no. He wanted the OLED.
He wanted the OLED. That makes sense. Yeah. My nephew did too. The same shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, hey, anytime a console launches and it doesn't... Well, I don't think anyone ever suspected Nintendo to flop a console. But, you know, this one was a lot better than the Wii U launch. Mm-hmm. I think that they made the Switch 2... you know, different enough, and it's not repeating that Wii to Wii U mistake that Nintendo made last time.
Yeah, so, exactly. People know what they're buying. It's a new Switch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it is the talk of June, pretty much, you know.
I mean, mm-hmm.
It's a win.
All right, I'm with you on that one. Let's see. There we go. That faint praise that still works. but for the gaming fail, actually, of the month, I'm actually going to go ahead and say I think the true death of E3. I didn't feel it that much before. Every summer Games Fest and, like, you know, summer directs and all that stuff kind of had, like, a lot of good stuff to pull from. But I would say almost every single one of them was underwhelming. Resident Evil 9 fundamentally saved Summer Game Fest, because up until then, we were pissed. There really wasn't a lot. And with Sony's Direct, even then I was like, I know Sony does most of their stuff in September anyways. Like, that's what we've noticed year on year. But they, this felt like crumbs. It felt like crumbs. And then Xbox is so just out of whack now. They didn't even follow up on some of the major stuff they did last year. So, to me, this, the fact that I put a Donkey Kong solo game Direct as a win is actually really telling of just kind of how bad everything else was. I wouldn't say, well, not bad, but to me, a fail. It disappoints the legacy of E3 and the true hype that came from this time of the year. That hype has been absent. And I feel really sad. I really hope next year's different. I know gaming cycles aren't what they used to be, but, like, man, this one really, without Resident Evil 9, it would have been a complete bust. Like, truly. So, that's me. That's my fail right there.
I agree. Mine, the fail, is also my win. Switch 2.
We've done this before. we've done this before, yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, you know, don't get me wrong, Mario Kart people, hey, if you're a huge Mario Kart fan, then this was the launch for you, right? But besides Mario Kart, there's just nothing really that's calling out to me that I just need to get right now at launch, right? Don't get me wrong, I am going to be getting the console, but, like, it's going to take more than Mario Kart to get me to get it.
Right, yeah, now. You need a backlog. You need a good backlog.
Yeah. I am just going through my backlog. I fucking beat my Metal Gear Solid trilogy finally, that a Christmas present that was given to me by my girlfriend all the way back in 2023.
Jesus.
I beat. Yeah.
Year and a half. Fuck.
Yeah. I just beat Metal Gear Solid 3, and I'm just like, fuck yeah. So, you know, I'm still fucking around with Doom Dark Ages. My stupid ass save got deleted and kind of just demoralized me, because I'm like, god damn, that was only 6 hours, but fuck. You know, so yeah, it's just right now at this point in time, there's other things for me to play besides a Switch 2. And do not get it twisted. As soon as the Smash Brothers is announced or even hinted at, I will be taking a look at getting the console. But, like, as a drop everything right now, I need to have it. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
I get it that people, you know, like, hey, if your kid, if you're tired of your fucking kid hogging your Switch and you're like, here, have this one, kid, and then you just go get a Switch 2 and the kid doesn't know the difference, hey, more power to you, you know? I get it.
That seems to be a common narrative, actually.
I mean, that's just the fail for me is a Switch 2, just because it's just missing, like, a killer app. Like, if it would have launched with the Mario game, like a genuine Mario Odyssey 2 or something, we'd be talking very different right now. Right?
Hey, we'd be talking about the Switch 1, which launched Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would have been, it's dramatic difference.
Yeah.
Dramatic difference.
Yeah, I've seen reviews of Mario Kart Tour and all that, I get it, but, like, just to me, it's just like, yeah, it looks cool, but I guarantee you, if I were to put that on, my kids wouldn't know the difference.
True.
Between Mario Kart 8 and that. So, yeah, I get it. So.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Let's call it an underwhelming success. That's what the Switch 2 is right now. It's a little underwhelming. It's a huge success, but it is, you know, there's a lot more that could be done. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'll run through what I'm playing. I think a lot of this is overlap from last week. But just to reiterate, Mario Kart World, I got most of the outfits. I still have more outfits to get, and I want more characters, but the fucking way you unlock the weirdo characters, like the penguin and the ostrich and shit, is just very convoluted.
How do you do that?
You have to, in a race, in certain levels, this fucking item comes up that switches your character in the middle of the race. Like, somebody has to actually get it, one of your opponents. Hit you with it, or hit the whole crew with it in front of them, and then you have to somehow transform into a character you haven't been in yet. So I've gotten most of them, but the ostrich eludes me, and one of the other ones, I'm like, fuck, I can keep playing the level on, and then at some point, when an opponent will get it, but, like, god, it's just too much. But I will say, I do enjoy just booting up the game, pressing the plus button and just seeing where the fucking world takes me. It's kind of relaxing. So, but I do it portably. I almost never play on the TV unless I'm playing online, which is a lot of bullshit. With 24 players, oh my gosh. I did get to Dragon Roost Island in Wind Waker. This is really feeding me nostalgia. I quite enjoyed it. But it did make me realize this GameCube game is a lot slower than something like Tears of the Kingdom, which I'm also playing. And damn, Tears of the Kingdom. You can see the generational leaps between these two games. Not saying Wind Waker's bad. It's just there are definitely dated aspects from this generation that I've realized more considering the amount of freedom I get from something like Tears of the Kingdom, which is honestly a little too open sometimes. But the big one for me is Soul Calibur 2. That game's hard. I've been trying to earn the characters because every time I bring the Switch 2 somewhere, everybody wants to play Soul Calibur 2. And everybody's pissed that I don't have all the characters. So I'm going to tell you right now, boys, I've unlocked about half the ones that needed. So it just gets harder. It gets so much harder in this single-player mode. So I'm like, fuck, it's actually testing my goddamn skills. But my Link is better. So prepare to get bombed on next time I bring this bitch over. So yeah, those are my games. Those are my games right there.
Nice, nice. Mine is a continuation of last month with Elden Ring Nightreign. Like I said, it's just it's cool to just be able to have a dedicated game that's Souls co-op pretty much without the bullshit hoops to jump through to co-op a Souls game or Elden Ring. You know, oh, you have to be in this area. You have to ring a fucking bell. You have to give a password, all that shit. Nope, this one is just, you boot it up, invite your buddies, and you're there, right?
There you go.
That with the roguelite type of gameplay, I just like that because it's like every run can be a little different. The boss, like I said, the second one that we beat took me fucking 5 hours, basically, so... I've been playing that. Not bad for $40. The only thing I do is I wish it was crossplay. Like, if it was crossplay, I would tell all you fuckers to get it because it's
I know.
Just, yeah, but
I would heavily consider it if that was the case, but it's not. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, that, and then also, just due to the raving reviews I've heard of the sequel, I actually booted up Death Stranding Director's Cut, which is like the quote unquote next gen upgrade. Got it for $10. I've had Death Stranding since it came out in 2021 or 2020, I believe. And playing it on the PS4 was cool and all, but I was just like, God damn, what the fuck is this game about? And it's just straight, like, it's just Kojima, dude. It's just Kojima being wild is what it is.
Like an auteur, baby.
Yeah. So last night, actually, like I said, after I beat Metal Gear Solid Trilogy, I beat that Volume 1, going to be waiting for that Volume 2 now. But until that Volume 2 drops, that is going to be my, like, kind of single-player game where I just kind of, you know, that and Doom, of course. Like I said, I'm still getting caught up to where I fucking save got deleted, but... Yeah, the PS5 version, it just runs way better than the PS4 and all that. So, yeah, I can see it. I'm just very, like, kind of just... Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing in this game? But
what's this avant-garde bullshit?
Yeah. that's pretty much what I'm on.
Nice, nice. Well, hey, that's what we're playing. We got one more absurd headline for you before we head out. This is stupid. Pokemon player loses 20 years worth of data when transferring Pokemon Scarlet save to Switch 2. Oh boy. So, but you guys don't know, but or maybe you do, Nintendo does not do cloud saving for Pokemon games. You have to have Pokemon Home, and you can actually transfer, there's a way to have your Game Boy, Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue, Pokemon... Yeah. Leveled and transferred all the way up until Pokemon Home. You can do it. It's an arduous process, but if you have the gumption or you've been keeping up with the Pokemon save stuff over the past 20 years, you can make it happen. So this guy had Pokemon from when he was a kid in 1998. So think about that first Charmander that this fucking guy got. He's been held, cherished, you know, shinies from different generations. He fucked up his Switch 2 transfer, and holy shit. yeah, that's gone. My transfer went okay. Sucks to suck, buddy. I'm sorry. Yeah. But yeah, that is painful. Oh my gosh, I cannot imagine.
Yep, I cannot imagine that.
No. And I see why Nintendo's like, oh yeah, if you cloud save it, you can like do spam and bullshit, whatever thing that people use to game the system. But I'm like, dudes, they're going to do it anyways. Like, it's fine. Yeah. Let them back up their fucking game. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Oh, it's the worst. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a little downer there. Anyways, so this has been a production of the NPC or of the Horrible People's Network. I definitely need dinner. So, yeah, this is the NPC Gaming Podcast. Check back with us in a couple of weeks. We'll give you even more news. This one went a little long, but we had a lot to talk about. And it turns out the gaming industry just keeps evolving. So we'll keep you posted on everything that happens there. My name is Anthony Fuentes. You can normally find me on the Horrible People's Podcast. It's HORRORBLE People's Podcast. I'll learn to say it one day. Webster's so good at it. And you can find me online personally at Hyrulean Hustler. You just be living my life in good old sunny Los Angeles. So with that, Cordova, where can people find you?
I am on the good old Instagram, IG, as a kid say, you know, one word, Big Bang Cordova. I got some screenshots, gameplays on that bad boy. And then, yeah, I occasionally guest, appear on the Horrible People's Podcast when they're gaming episodes. So.
That's right. That's right. And hopefully soon, but we'll be busy. Anyways, yeah, that's it. Check you guys out in a couple weeks. Peace.
Later.